Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing today here in our studies looking in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we've been looking at this section here in chapter number 4 dealing with the catching out of the saints. And we have made it down to the very last verse of the chapter when it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And we've been talking about the issue of the comfort that this brings. And when we talk about that issue of comfort, we see how Paul is saying that they're to be comforting one another. And individuals would really start to try to think about, you know, how this can only be a comfort when Paul's saying to one another, he's speaking about the members of the body of Christ. Those who have put their trust in the gospel message for today, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And we'll read that gospel message again here, just that way that is here on the broadcast. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And individuals would start looking at the whole idea of this event and start looking, saying, well, why is it that this is only a comfort to one another? And the reality of that is only those who have put their trust in this gospel message are going to be part of this event. So those who have not believed the gospel are not going to be part of the catching out of the saints. So the whole idea of this message, it cannot be a comfort to them. You know, we know that the Word of God works in individuals, but it only works in those who are saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the gospel message that saves and puts someone into the body of Christ puts them in a position to where they're going to be able to have the comfort which comes from hearing this message and hearing about this event that's going to go on. And this is why the event known as the catching out of the saints, why it is something that is so attacked by individuals, because, you know, since it is our hope, I think we've talked about this, and let's read that passage again, talking about this being our hope here in Titus chapter number 2, where the Apostle Paul writing here, we're going to start in verse number 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So Paul, here as he's writing unto Titus, talks about how we are looking, he says, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what we are looking for. This is the hope that we have. We've looked at how 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the new body that we are going to receive with things. We've talked about, let's go over to Colossians chapter number 3, where Paul writes to the assembly of Colossae here, starting at verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. So he's talking about those who are risen with Christ, and everyone that has put their trust in the gospel message is identified with his resurrection. So every believer is risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So, we're seeing how repeatedly through Paul's epistles, he keeps bringing up the issue of the catching out of the saints, the hope that we have, the fact that we are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity. And it's just kind of a confusing thing of when individuals keep trying to deny the issue of that this is a reality, even though they may have believed the gospel at one point in time, that they're denying the reality of this event, taking away the hope of individuals. We see how Paul, let's turn over to Philippians chapter number 3. And we're going to see Paul writing to the assembly here at Philippi, talking about where our focus is when he says here in verses 20 and 21 of Philippians chapter number 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So, as Paul's describing this, and remember all the various things that we read about over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, talking about the body that we are going to have, that here we have Paul saying that he's changing our vile body. So the body that we have right now is being described as being our vile body, and it's going to be changed, and it's going to be fashioned, it's going to be made to be like unto his glorious body. So all of those things that are described in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 are matching up with his glorious body. It's matching up with what we're going to receive the moment we are part of that event, the catching out of the saints, whether it's by our death prior to the event happening, or if we happen to live until the catching out of the saints, then it would be the fact of when that event actually occurs. This is the hope that we have. And it's these words which are bringing about that comfort, because it's that guarantee of knowing that this is what's going to happen, and how it's only the Word of God which can work in us to produce the faith that we need. That's why I quoted Romans chapter 10 verse 17 a few minutes ago. If we go over to back to 1 Thessalonians, but we go to chapter number 2, and we're going to see that statement that Paul makes about this assembly here when he's speaking about who they are, what has gone on, and he's holding them up for this cause here when he says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the word of God works in every believer to produce faith, to produce change, to produce the knowledge that we need to be able to continually function in our day-to-day life, so that way we can have an impact on others as we are bringing about that will of God, which is that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That as we have that truth built up in us, that we're going to be able to share that truth with others, which is then going to be able to bring the comfort that is needed that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to see a statement that Paul is making here in Ephesians 4 as he's starting to lay out some of that information about the practical things that individuals need. And right before he starts laying those things out, he does get into a discussion here. We're going to start at verse number 14 of Ephesians 4. And he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, we see that end of verse 16. This is the goal of things, is that edification process, that building up, that's that coming unto the knowledge of the truth that we just mentioned that was over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, in order to get these things to happen, we see how Paul has to talk about in verse 14 about being no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. So it's that issue of building up that foundation of the doctrine in our lives, set way we're not being tossed too far, we're not being bounced around from one thing to another, not sure of what the truth actually is, because the word of God is the truth. We need to come onto the understanding of what the word of God says and not be blindly following what individuals actually say. You know, no matter who it is that's actually teaching the word of God, the issue always should be that what is being said needs to be put to the test of what does the word of God actually say. And if it truly says what's being taught, then praise the Lord, that's a great thing, and follow what is being taught. If it doesn't line up with what God's word actually says, then those are things that need to be avoided at that time, and that, and not be tossed too far, not to just say, okay, well, you know, this person's a great teacher and they're smarter than I am, and so it has to be true. And that's what so many times happens, of where individuals put it on a thing of that somebody else is doing this teaching and they're essentially studying for me, and everything that they say has to be true, and so I just blindly follow all of those things. I need to put all of it to that test of God's word. And that's why you see how Paul actually talks about how it is that we start having that growth of what God's word actually says. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and as this process happens, that's how what we just read about can function as that comfort for all individuals who are members of the body of Christ. Because the process that we're going to read about here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, again, this is something that can only happen for the members of the body of Christ, because we have the Spirit in us. An unsaved individual does not have the Spirit in them to be able to give them the insights into what God's word actually says. We're going to pick up here in verse number 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, we have the mind of Christ because we have a completed word of God that we can open up and study and be able to take that information in. So we have that mind of Christ. We have the information that the Apostle Paul is saying that we need to be looking at, that needs to be having an impact on who we are, and how it's the Spirit that actually gives us the insight into what God's word actually says. That the Spirit compares spiritual things with spiritual. So it compares the things that we've taken in our study. The Spirit is able to take all those things and compare them and put them together in our mind to be able to give the insight into what God's word actually says. And so when we're talking about, you know, the issue of the catching out of the saints, as we come to that understanding and the knowledge of the truth of this information, we see how that it can be that comfort for us, because one, we know that there's something after this life. We know exactly what that is. We know how long it's going to be. That's going to be for all of eternity. We know that there's a glorified body waiting for us. We know that there's the hope of the positions that we can attain to based on the gold, silver, and precious stones that we build at the judgment seat of Christ. And as we understand all of those things and know that we don't have to worry about that there's something we could do that would undo what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary, since we know that, all of this functions as a comfort. And when we really look at the things of this world, how much all of that really is designed to take away the comfort that we would have, that we know that we have from the Word of God. Because you have individuals going around out there who are making statements about how there's not even a heaven. You know, recently in the last couple of months, you had Arnold Schwarzenegger made that statement, you know, in an interview that, you know, he believes there's not even such a thing as heaven. Now, he makes that statement because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's inside of the individual is what comes out of them. That's why as we study the Word of God and we build it up in us, that is what's going to come out as we're encountering individuals. So as we encounter the unsaved, we're giving them information related to salvation. As we encounter saved individuals, we can build up the doctrine in each other, so that way there's that mutual growth that happens, and how it would lead to both individuals having the statement where Paul makes over in Romans chapter 12 when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what is needed as we're going about our daily lives, is that to have that transformation occurring. So that way, we're not being conformed to the things of this world. We're being transformed by the Word of God to function as the members of the body of Christ, to be able to have the comfort that comes to us from what the Word of God actually says for us today. Now, next week, we'll start chapter number 5 of the book of 1 Thessalonians. So we'll actually begin a new chapter with things. And as we close, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to join us on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, you know, live on Facebook as we broadcast our services. And if you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York. And as always, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.